Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, Harvest Public Media takes an in-depth look into rural commodity brokers and the tug-of-war battle between MF Global and rural farmers. But first, it was literally a place where you could find cool stuff. Now the store is closing in downtown Columbia after being in business for 23 years. KBIA Sarah Tucker spoke with the owner of Cool Stuff, his wife, and one of their employees in this audio postcard.
The idea for the name I came up with was, you know, I'm walking down the street, downtown. What am I looking for? Cool stuff.
I grew up here in Columbia, and the store and I are about the same age, so it's always been around. It was every time I came downtown as a kid, it was like the first stop we made. And
for example, my wife over there, she made the mistake of trying to return something at Cool Stuff, and nobody returns on me. It was a return. She was a problem customer, basically.
The first time I remember being on Cool Stuff was when I was in junior high, when the store was, there were two separate stores on 9th Street, and there was the Bead and Rock Gallery. Went in with one of my girlfriends and her mom, and we made necklaces. It was a purple Fimo bead that I loved.
And it's a really interesting mix of stuff here. There's definitely something for everybody.
A lot of those things, like if you look around the store right now, we have gazillions of African art and masks, and not a lot of people buy that. So I'll probably have a lot of that still left in my house.
The singing bowls are another favorite that I think all the employees, just any chance they get, if they notice someone walking by the singing bowl counter, then they'll all jump and grab a bowl and start playing.
And like, you know, and even just the humor that I think he's brought to the community. Even growing up, I read his ads. One of my sisters, after Arnie and I started dating, she's like, I always wanted to meet Arnie Fagan.
I mean, I'll definitely miss the place. I don't think downtown will be quite the same without it.
As far as me, I'm going to get some exercise. I'm going to get a hobby, maybe learn to cook. I'm going to dust off my bicycle and take that for a ride. And I've got two boats that just gather leaves because I don't have time to get
you know,
in them.
It's been a part of all of his adult life. Probably he told you, you know, it started, kind of started when he was still in college when he started making tie-dyes. And so something that he's always had. So it'll be kind of different for him not to have it.
Say, you know? Hey, there was once a place that was the coolest store in the world. And it was in Columbia, Missouri. And it was run by this eccentric guy. And it was just amazing, and I wish you had a chance to go there. But it's no longer here.
When futures trading firm MF Global went bankrupt at the end of October, regulators discovered $1.6 billion in customer funds missing, much of it belonging to Midwest farmers and ranchers. As bankruptcy drags on, clients continue their efforts to claw back their missing funds. But one group of small businesses remain caught in the middle of uneasy markets and miles of red tape. Rural commodity brokers. Harvest Public Media's Jeremy Bernfeld explains the connection.
Tom Leffler makes his living trading commodities, but he's no Wall Street fat cat. There is no Wall Street in tiny Augusta, Kansas, population just under 9,000. But there is a Lakeshore Drive, and that's where Leffler and his wife Patty run their commodities trading business. Their office is small but comfortable, and they're in a nice building. They ought to be. Leffler Commodities is in the basement of their home.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Patty.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Come on down here.
It makes for a nice commute, but makes it impossible to separate their business with their family. When their business is threatened, like it was by the MF Global meltdown, it gets personal pretty quickly.
It's no different than a business partner taking advantage of another partner, or a spouse cheating on the other spouse.
That's Leffler, sitting in his basement office, his desk about 5 feet from his wife's.
You can forgive them, but you never forget.
The Lefflers place trades in the commodities markets for Midwest farmers and ranchers in order to help them balance their risk. He works with his clients and then passes their trades to a large brokerage house like MF Global. MF Global's bankruptcy gave the industry more than just a black eye. It gave the commodities markets, Tom's industry, Tom and Patty's business, a left-right combination that had it sprawled on the mat.
I'm not sure that they're going to be satisfied for a long time to come that assets traded in commodity accounts are safe.
That's John Rowe. He's a partner in a brokerage firm in Chicago, and he co-founded the Commodities Customer Coalition, a nonprofit group fighting for the rights of over 300 MF Global clients. $1.6 billion in customer money up in smoke. Is it any surprise agricultural commodities trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange dropped 12% in November 2011 compared to November 2010? Market watchers can't attribute that whole drop to MF Global, but say it certainly had an impact. Plus, we're almost 6 months in and customers haven't yet been made whole. The bankruptcy is dragging on and clients have only received 72 cents of every dollar they're missing. Rowe says the long bankruptcy and lack of accountability continues to damage the entire industry.
You can't stop someone from robbing a bank, but you can make sure once they do rob the bank doesn't shut down for 6 months and no one can access their capital.
Brokers across the country haven't received a dime of the commissions MF Global owes to them, their entire commission check for the month of October. Combine that with down months in November and December when the industry was still picking up the pieces of the disaster, and you get a grisly picture.
For many brokers, one quarter of last year's income isn't there and may never be recovered.
That's Melinda Schramm, the founder and chairman of the National Introducing Brokers Association, which represents about half of the 700 or so people who make their living as introducing brokers.
Unfortunately, it's a double whammy because the business itself is down. People are hesitant to go back into the markets. They're still hesitant. But the second part is that the brokerage business itself has changed as a result of this.
Though the Lefflers are relentlessly optimistic about their business and say business is finally ticking up, the future doesn't look especially bright for most rural brokers. The Lefflers have spent months trying to reassure their clients and help them navigate the complex bankruptcy proceedings. All of that time is usually spent drumming up new business. The Lefflers and other rural brokers are caught in the middle of a tug of war they can't control.
You know, it's one of these situations which you always hear about. The big boys cause the problem. It's the little guys that have to pick the pieces up, has to talk to everybody, explain to them what happened. Even though we didn't have nothing to do with it, we got to explain it.
As the bankruptcy continues to divvy up what's left of MF Global's multi-billion dollar business, rural brokers will be trying to hold on to their little piece. And like their farmer clients, the Lefflers are hoping to regrow it. Jeremy Bernfeld, Harvest Public Media.
Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.